get about everything.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
You got us going?
You're alive, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. On this December the 20th, Lord's Day, Sunday morning, sure is a blessing. Like Brother Donnie told me this morning, he said it sure is a blessing to be saved.
Amen.
I tell you what, buddy, I went through 34 years not being saved. I've enjoyed 32 years being saved. Next year, April 27th, I'll be saved 33 years. And if the Lord be willing, I'm hoping to live more for the Lord than I did for my own selfish self and the devil and sin. And I would like to at least balance the books, but I'll let the Lord make that call. But so far, been through 32 years. My favorite song is, I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day.
Amen.
Since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way. Since He gave me this heart of love. I tell you, but it is a blessing to be saved.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it. Especially in the hour we're living in, buddy, when people are scared about this little old virus and being denied of things that we all took for granted, like going to sit down and join a Thanksgiving meal or maybe even a restaurant or even this upcoming Christmas season that we got coming up. And I am so glad to be saved, glad to be in the house of God today. Glad, praise God, He knows my name. Amen. Amen. Glad it's in that book. Amen. Jesus told the disciples one day, they come in all excited and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in Your name. And He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto You in my name, but rejoice rather that Your names are written down in heaven. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Well, we're going to be teaching out of Revelations starting this morning. And I do want to say this, and I want to say it as carefully as I can. You really should stay with us. Try not to miss any of these lessons on the book of Revelation. It's a big undertaking.
Yes, it is.
I've already prayed over it. I'm going to continue to pray over it. It's not like you can just pick up the book of Revelation and say, I got it. I'm just telling you, a lot of this stuff has yet to be.
Yep.
Some of it already has, and some of it now is. And you just got to really be careful in the book of Revelation. Paul told a young preacher, Timothy, he told him, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. And listen, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible has to be rightly divided, and more so than ever in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
We're going to read the prelude to the book of Revelation before we start teaching. And it's just a heading over the top of the book. The writer is the Apostle John. And the date of it is after the death of Christ, 96 years. The theme of Revelation is Jesus Christ in three ways, presented in a threefold way, as the time which is, and which was, and which is to come,
right,
as the relationships to the churches, to the tribulation, to the kingdom, in His office, high priest, bridegroom, king, judge. But while Christ is thus the central theme of the book, all the events move towards one consummation, the bringing in of the covenant, of the covenanted kingdom. The key phrase is a prophetic declaration of the great voices in heaven. This prelude gives all the verses. I'm reading out of a Schofield Study Bible. The world kingdom of our Lord and His Christ has come. The book is therefore a prophecy. There are three major divisions of Revelations, and they must be clearly held if the interpretation is to be sane and coherent. John was commanded to write concerning three classes of things. Things past, things which thou hast seen, and the Patmos vision of things present, things which are, and things then existing. Obviously, the churches, the temple had been destroyed, the Jews dispersed, the testimony of God had been committed to the churches. Among, we have seven messages to seven representative churches. It's noteworthy that the church is not mentioned in chapters 5 through 18. Things future, things which shall be hereafter, after these, after the church period ends, the third major division has pointed periods. The third, I'm going to hold on a minute, I got mixed up here. The third major division has pointed out, falls into a series of six events. Five prophetical passages making with the church divisions, seven sevens. The six sevens are the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven personages, the seven vials, the seven dooms, and the seven new things. The parental passages are the Jewish remnant, the tribulation saints, the angel, the little book, the two witnesses, the lamb, the remnant, and the everlasting gospel, the gathering of the kings at Armageddon, the four hallelujahs in heaven. These passages do not advance the prophetic narrative looking backward and forward. They sum up the result. They sum up results accomplished and speak of results yet to come as if they had already come. For example, the Lamb and the remnant are seen prophetically on Mount Zion as though they are not actually there until 20. And that does give, I did read one verse there, Revelation 20 verse 4 through 6. The end of the church period left indeterminate. It will end by the fulfillment of believers to synchronize with Daniel's 70th week. Yeah. The great tribulation begins at the middle of the week and continues 3.5 years. The tribulation is brought to an end by appearing of the Lord and the battle of Armageddon. The kingdom follows after the little season and then eternity. The interpreters of Revelation should bear in mind two important passages, and they're both mentioned in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, 21, talking about the surety of the word and the prophecy that was given to man. Doubtless much which is designed obscure to us will be clear to those for whom it was written as the time approaches. All right, that's the prelude to the book of Revelation. I wanted to read that.
Yes.
So you would understand why you need to be careful when it comes to reading the book of Revelation. We're going to start our teaching and we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessing to be able to have a Bible before us, to be able to have the Holy Spirit, to be able to have the anointing which teaches us all things. We have no need of any man teach us anything concerning the Word of God. Lord, we pray you to not only do your part, but help us, Lord, I pray, to be able to do our part. Your Word says, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability, and we're seeking that ability. And we pray to be a blessing to you and to your people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, we're getting an introduction to how John got this revelation.
Yes.
Who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now John put three verses right there to let us know that the time is at hand,
yes,
and that God, by His angel, gave this prophecy, this revelation of Jesus Christ unto John. And we'll start getting more here. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. This is a key verse right here. And have made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, down here I was passed up on a lot of promotion. I got disappointed. I thought I should have got it. Now, God don't pass no one up.
No.
He promotes all of His children.
Right.
And we're going to rule and reign with Him. I've never been in royalty. I heard an illustration one time, and it does help a little bit to understand royalty. I was driving home from work listening to King of Kings radio. It was a radio station. It may have been before King of Kings. But I do remember that it was Arnold Palmer giving his testimony about playing golf in Arabia. And Arnold Palmer went over to Arabia to play golf, and the King of Arabia came out to watch Arnold Palmer play golf. And the king summons for Arnold Palmer to come before him when he got done playing. And Arnold Palmer went over and stood before the king. And the king told Arnold Palmer, and it's a true story, he said, "I really enjoyed watching you play golf today." And he said, "I want to give you something." And Arnold Palmer, being, just a kind of honor the jester, said, "King, I'm glad you enjoyed watching me play golf, but I don't need anything. Thanks for the offer." But the king insisted. He said, "I want to give you something." And trying to be modest, to make the best of this situation, Arnold Palmer, when he realized he wasn't going to get out of this, he said, "Okay, King, if you want to give me something," he said, "just give me a golf club and that'll be fine." And the king of Arabia did give Arnold Palmer a golf club, a $6 million golf club with 18 holes, a motel, swimming pool, the whole nine yards. And the reason for that is a king does not give a small gift because it's a reflection upon him.
Right.
So the King of Kings not only give us gifts, but He gave us promotion. I've never been a king before.
Right.
I've never seen royalty before.
Right.
But I guess we're going to get our fill of it, Brother Ed.
Hey,
and I'm kind of looking forward to it. Hey, I've been kicked around down here like a stray dog.
Yeah.
Hey, and I'll tell you right now, I'm looking forward to moving on up. Amen.
That's right.
And have made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion. When I think of dominion, I think of voting machines. Thank God this ain't talking about that. Forever and ever, amen. Verse 7. This is, I was telling Donnie about prophecy. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." This is a verse that's to be rightly divided. Why is that, brother? He hadn't came yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He's coming.
Yes, He is.
He's coming first for the church.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. And He's going to come like a thief. There's not no one going to see Him when He comes for the church. We're going to be kind of like Enoch that walked with God and was not because God took him.
Yeah.
And before he left, he had a testimony that he pleased God. And Sister Sharon, I got a testimony that I pleased God. And the way I pleased God was accepting the sacrifice of His Son on my behalf. And that pleases God when you say, I realize You gave Your Son for me. I realize that He was sacrificed so that I could be pardoned, and I accept the sacrifice, and it pleases God, and it gives honor to Him that you accept His Son.
Yes.
Well, this bunch here, they're not going to get that kind of grace. We're going to leave out. I mean, I don't know when. Paul said in the twinkle of an eye, we're going to be gone.
That's right.
I ain't never flown in an airplane, Sharon. From my understanding, that's the fastest mode of travel. I've never been up in a spaceship. My understanding is that's even faster than an airplane. But I will tell you this, I am going to make my exodus. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to know, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, I'm going to be with Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. But this verse 7 talks about when He comes in the clouds.
Yeah.
And in Acts, those men of Galilee standing there gazing, then the angel said, why stand you here gazing? They said, this same Jesus, which you see taken up, shall return again in like manner.
Yes.
In Acts chapter number 1, verse 9, and when He had spoken these things, they beheld, and He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. That's important.
Yeah, that's right.
This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him
right. Go
into heaven. Now that's when He comes, every eye's going to see Him. He's coming in the clouds, and that's a different time that He's coming. I'm already going to be in heaven.
That's right.
Matter of fact, I'm going to come with Him when He comes. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
You see that mentioned in Thessalonians?
Yeah.
Where it says, and He's going to bring us with Him when He comes, and we're going to be with Him. And you know what? This world, they've got the means now that every eye will be able to see Him.
Yeah.
We've got satellites, we've got TVs, we got internet, we got cell phones, we got news channels.
Yeah.
And listen, this will be the big news. When Jesus shows up, it's not going to be good for all, but all are going to see Him.
Yeah.
When He shows up.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you'll notice, every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. That's talking about Jewish people right there.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm on the first bunch getting out. Amen.
That's right.
This second bunch, it ain't going to be good.
No, it's not.
No.
Now, when He comes, according to verse number 7, He's going to come and He's going to sit upon the throne of His father David. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And the world ain't going to like it. They didn't like Trump. But they really ain't going to like it when Jesus sits on this throne. You know why? Because they got to give up all their thrones. That's why.
Yeah.
They're not going to like it at all. But when He does come, John says, even so, amen. I mean, buddy, he's saved. And he's glad that the Lord's coming. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the ABC of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now listen, the devil's mighty, but he ain't almighty.
That's right.
There was a dispute made over the body of Moses. And I believe it was Michael, the archangel, that was in dispute with the devil over the body of Moses. And all he said was, "The Lord rebuke you." And that's all it took. The devil, I mean, he just disappeared.
That's right.
That's all it took. Jesus, talking about the devil, he said, "I beheld him as lightning come down to this earth." I'll tell you how he got down here. He got kicked out of heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
The Almighty. Now, John's telling here in verse 9 how he got this vision. "I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle," talking about an island that's called Patmos.
Yes.
"For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." I've heard it said they tried to kill John. They boiled him in oil, and that didn't kill him. And then they got afraid of him, and they took him to this island, and they left him there to starve to death. And John's been on this island, and he's on it for the right reason. He's there for the Word of God, and he's there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get in trouble, that's the right kind of trouble to get in. He stood on the Word of God. He wouldn't bend. He wouldn't bow. And I know it's changed in our day and time. Churches right now got the doors closed. They're afraid of what the government might do over this little old virus threat. You know what? I hate to say it, but I do believe they panhandled this thing to the hilt. But anyway, John wouldn't bow. He's on the Isle Patmos, Sharon, because he stood for the Word of God. Because he kept the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We got some terrible, terrible things coming our way.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to throw this out there, not trying to get political, just want you to understand. If Joe Biden is sworn in as the 46th president, he's already said that within 100 days of his inauguration, I think that takes place on January the 20th, he's already swore that within 100 days, the Equality Act will be passed and signed. What's that all about, Brother Eddie? Well, you need to find out. What that means is old Brother Eddie be in jail. Mm-hmm. What that means is you're going to learn how to bow. You're going to learn how to accept things that you might not so easily accept, but you're going to be made to accept because you're going to be bound by law to accept things that right now you don't accept. This Equality Act is kind of usurping authority. What's that mean, Brother Eddie? You ought to look it up. I did. It's illegally obtaining authority. Now, I'm going to be preaching this word no matter what. I'm going to be standing for this word no matter what.
That's right.
And that's going to cost you something. You know, we've been in this age of grace. We've been in this age of grace, you know, no problems at all.
Right.
I'm telling you, they're going to rock the boat.
Yes, they are.
They're going to sort out wheat from tares. Me and Donnie was talking about how some churches have become worldly sanctuaries and how they've kind of forsook the Word of God. And you know, down to tickling ears and all that stuff. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Hey, I ain't never got over the fact that He forgave me. That He saved me. I'm indebted to Him. And there's no way I'm ever going to deny Him. And there's no way I'm ever going to be ashamed of Him. But I will tell you this. If they do sign this Equality Act in, you're going to understand the statement that elections have consequences.
Oh yeah.
Your children will be taught, and it'll be mandatory to accept the alphabet sex life. Why? What do you call it? XYZ or GB, I can't even remember now. by G. Heck, anyway, they're going to be taught the alternative lifestyle. They're going to be taught the Muslim way. It's kind of a twofold thing. The Muslims have to be in here. You know, you think Muslims ain't that big a threat? You will when they get ready to behead you. You'll understand that then.
That's right.
So they have to be here. They're going to be the sword that God's going to use to behead a bunch of people that didn't have enough sense to resist this spirit of Antichrist that's coming up on this blessed country that God's been so gracious to and given us so many privileges. We just kind of let it slip.
Yeah.
Well, this Equality Act is going to bind you. This Equality Act is going to cost you. Some churches have been fined $1,000 a day. Mm-hmm. Some restaurants being charged $1,000 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going worldly. I'm not going to be secular. I'm not going to teach and preach anything but this right here.
Amen. Right. Praise the Lord.
John says he got in trouble, right kind, for standing for the Word of God.
Yes, he did.
And for keeping the testimony of Jesus Christ. And if this so-called president takes office, you're going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
He said, verse 10, and if that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, just remember this. Old Brother Eddie tried to warn you.
That's right.
You'll find out real quick that old Brother Eddie was right. I keep up with stuff more than I should. I'm not worried about it. Hey, I'm good to go.
I
tell him, Brother Eddie, they might have cut my head off. They'll have to pick it up by the ear. I ain't got no hair pick it up by. I can't do one of them Kathy Griffey imitation of beheading Trump's head and holding his bloody head up. I ain't got no hair.
That's right.
But anyway, John says, verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Boy, that's a good...
Amen.
That's a good place to be. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. Donnie, buddy, I picked him up. First thing he said was, praise God, I'm glad I'm saved. And I realize he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God help us all to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, notice, he said, I heard behind me a great voice.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, I just don't never get nothing. You need to get in Spirit.
That's right.
You got to bring something, put something in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get in the Spirit. And what that means is turn the cell phone off, turn the world off, turn your eyes toward Jesus, and the things of this world go strangely dim, and all of a sudden you'll start seeing things and hearing things that you never saw nor heard before. I do it every day, not just on the Lord's day. Hey, I'm looking for Him. I'm listening for Him. I'm longing for Him every day. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. We're in Revelation chapter 1. We just read verse 10. Verse 11 says, this voice that he heard, a great voice like a trumpet, here's what he heard, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, see John's seeing stuff,
mm-hmm,
right in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. There's some things worth turning to see.
Yes, that's right.
I was trying to get a look at something, and I about run off the road. I don't know if it's a deer or what, but you know, that wasn't worth turning to see. But Sharon, there are some things worth turning to see.
Oh,
And Donnie says, I'm always duck hunting, driving down the road, looking everywhere but where I'm going. And he ain't wrong neither, that's true. But I'm always looking. Everywhere but where we're going, I'm scared of him to death.
Yeah.
And I pulled out in front of the car this morning, I told him, I said, well, it was on your side, and I was thinking you was too young to die. And I didn't pull out in front of him. He said, thank you, brother.
I'll be to heaven quicker than what he did.
But John turned when he heard this voice, and that voice that spake with him, he turned and saw seven golden candlesticks. That's a good sign, isn't it?
Amen. Number seven is very important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very important.
He saw seven golden candlesticks, which is part of worship. And Moses was instructed to make the golden candlesticks, and it was to have seven branches, and that went into the temple. And as John turns to see, he sees seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment. I'm glad it mentioned he had clothes on, amen. I tell people I love winter. People put clothes on in the wintertime. And you know what, God? He clothed me. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't going to be found naked. I'm going to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. There'll be a golden girdle given me. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to being clothed upon. John saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. I like that too. Man, he wasn't trying to show his leg off. Down to the foot. He's fully clothed. I like that.
Yeah.
I like fully clothed. I see these women every now and then, and they'll have these long dresses on. Most of them are Seventh-day Adventists or they're Amish, and I'll go over and say, I like it. I like your dress. And some of them might not take it the right way, but I like to see fully clothed upon. I don't like, I was telling Donnie, I don't like it when I see something that calls me to look again. Mm-hmm. Tell me I didn't see what I just saw. He said he was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a girding girdle. Now, so far, everything we've heard has been really good. Golden candlesticks, golden girdle. However, verse 14, really listen here. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. Now, Song of Solomon, talking about Jesus, says, my beloved has dove's eyes. That's eyes of love. Mm-hmm. These are mad eyes. John sees his Savior here. He sees a pre-incarnation of his Savior in this vision. And he sees eyes that are as a flame of fire. Now, when I used to work in the factory, every now and then I'd get mad, and one of my employees, I seen fire in his eye. I wasn't mad at them. I was mad at the press or mad at what they told us to do or something like that. But you know, it'd get the best of me. I'd have fire in my eye. And they'd notice that. They say, I seen fire in his eye. We better get over here and get busy. But you know, John sees more than us. He says, I see eyes that are like a flame of fire. And boy, I'm telling you, it's got the best of John here. He's not used to seeing Jesus mad. Verse 15, he said, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. If you've ever been around the ocean, it's really loud as you hear those waves roaring, and the closer you get to them, the louder it gets. And that's kind of what he's talking about. He said it was really loud, as a voice, as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now John has saw something he's never saw before. He saw not only eyes like a flame of fire, but he sees seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And I've seen a lot of people make references to that Jesus had a sword out of his mouth. And he's really making a reference, if you know your Bible much at all, making a reference to Hebrews chapter 4, talking about the Word of God. And I'll put a little bit more attention to this here in a minute. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, "For the Word of God is quick," means alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, John sees this manifested in this vision, and he sees a sharp two-edged sword, and talks about the Lord's countenance was like the sun that shineth in his strength. It's hard to look at the sun in its fullness. It just about blind you. And he's seeing that. I don't know that I can find this scripture. I mean, I can possibly quote it if I can't. But hold on there just a minute. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. God overcomes the Antichrist by the word of His mouth. Here you go. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Talking about, the Lord overcoming that wicked one. Said, "Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." That Word of God, that Spirit of His mouth. I'm telling you, that Word is sharp. That Word still won't return void. It'll prosper in the thing it's sent to do. And out of His mouth is going to go a sharp two-edged sword. Now, you might argue, though, Brother Eddie, that'd probably be all right. But I've never seen nobody argue with the Lord. John sees all of this. Verse 17, it takes its toll on John. John's that disciple whom Jesus loves. But remember, this is a vision. He's seeing things that really have never been before. He's seeing the resurrected Christ. He's seeing the incarnate Christ. And it just really gets the best of him. Verse 17, he says, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead." It was just too much for him. You know, everybody, they want to pick on Jesus. And Jesus, man, he's meek and lowly at heart. He went about doing good, and he let them just kind of belittle him and call him, the Prince of Beelzebub, and they mocked him, ridiculed him, and all of that. That's over now. Now he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But he ain't pushed over no more. John sees this. And he said, "I fell at His feet as dead." Reminds me of Saul that was out breathing threatenings against the church in Acts chapter number 9. And he run into Jesus. And he had to even ask Him who He was. But I want you to know one thing, buddy. He fell down quick. John here. Saul here, I mean. Saul, as he's journeying in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, as he's journeying, he comes near Damascus, and he's out, according to verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. Notice verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I want you to know, Paul, when he became Paul, he talked about knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want you to know John's trying to do the same thing here. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And here John is, and he just gets a look at him. That's all he sees is a vision. Hebrews 10. 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I want you to know, a lot of people make their boasts down here, but they'll be looking for a hiding place when Jesus shows up. John here, he fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Boy, I'm glad for those words. I am the first and the last. I was telling Brother Donnie this morning as I was shaving, I was thinking about that scripture in Psalms chapter 56, verse 3, that says, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And you know, that verse don't really seem like it's got a lot of meaning until you're a little shepherd boy out there tending to a little flock of sheep, and a lion shows up. And the Lord delivers you out of the mouth of that lion, or a bear shows up. And the Lord delivers you out of that paw of that bear. Then you realize, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. The psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want you to know, there's a lot of times in this life you'll be afraid. And even though John was afraid, he hears this word, fear not, I am the first and the last. You know, Jesus told us in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. And this is a time of trouble down here. John gets comforted, even though this is a fearful sight, even though he's fell at his feet as dead, he hears the word, fear not, I am the first and the last. Not only comfort, but confirmation. Verse 18, this is a key verse. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. You know, if a devil could somehow get me in hell, I'm glad I know somebody's got the keys. Amen. And, you know, I can't go to hell. I'm sorry to disappoint you fellows that believe you can. But for me to go to hell, Jesus would have to go with me, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So do the math on that. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I'm saved, glad I'm sealed, glad I've been justified, sanctified. And I want you to know, I'm looking forward to getting out of this man-made hell we live in down here. Jesus here, he says, you ain't got nothing to worry about, John. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of. Not only am I he that liveth, but I'm he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Amen.
Amen.
Man, that encourage anybody.
That's right.
He says, verse 19, John, get your pen out. Real key verse. To understand the book of Revelation, you'll need to remember this verse right here. Write the things which thou hast seen, past. You seen the great works I did. You seen me raise the dead, John. You seen me cast out devils. You seen me heal lepers. You seen me walk on water. Hey, you seen me get crucified. He said, write down the things that you seen.
Yeah.
And the things which are, things going on right now, and the things which shall be hereafter. That hereafter is where we really struggle. We don't really have too much trouble with the things that have been. We don't even really have a lot of trouble with the things that are. Some do, but we don't. We've been enlightened. We have eyes that have been opened by salvation. A little boy had a litter of kittens, and a certain preacher come by. And he said, young man, what kind of kittens are them? And he told him they was his denomination kittens. He said, hold that thought. I'll be right back. I got a friend. Now I want you to tell him what you just told me. And he went, got his friend, and he brought him up there to that little boy. He said, tell him now what kind of kittens them are. And that little boy said, well, there's Baptist kittens, sir. He said, but the other day you said they were so-and-so kittens. He said, yeah, that's before they got the eyes open. And that's kind of really true, even though it is a joke. But we did get our eyes open. I was telling Donnie, I see things I didn't see before.
Amen.
I understand things I didn't understand before. I hear things I didn't hear before. Mm-hmm. And you know, you have to be saved to do that.
Amen.
Jesus talked about, you know, God reveals them unto us. He talked to Nicodemus about being born again. And he said, you can't see these things until you get born again. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, you know, what a difference being born again makes. He said, you know, you're going through the motions of life, but you're missing the whole message. And he told him, he said in John chapter 3, verily, verily, I'm in verse 3, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. He says, I just don't see it. And you know, I lived that kind of life for 34 years. I do understand what that means. Mm-hmm. And in verse 5, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he goes on to explain what he just said. A lot of people get caught up in that verse 5 and they just get all messed up. So Jesus explained it in the next verse. That which is born of the flesh, talking about the water, mm-hmm. is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Two verses mentioned right there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again, he explains what he just said. Yeah. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And you know, Nicodemus, this kind of went over his head.
Yeah.
But after he got saved, and he did, it made sense.
Right.
And until you get saved, well, according to Corinthians, you just can't get it. And I will read that real quick. Paul mentioned here in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he said, but the natural man, this is an unsaved man,
yeah.
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him.
Right.
Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the next verse says, but he that's spiritual judgeth all things, and yet he himself is judging no man. And you know, he goes on to talk about being carnal and being spiritual in the next chapter. And you know, there's a big difference between being saved and not being saved. We printed out our report on our internet program, and 120 people in California have visited our internet program, and we rejoice.
Now,
I don't know if they visited for the right reason or for the wrong reason, but praise God, 120 people in California visited our internet program, and we've got people visiting our Facebook live streaming program. I thank God for every bit of it.
Yeah.
But a lot of things you can't understand until you get saved, and even with that, you got to grow. But praise God, God will help you grow. That's why Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word, you may grow thereby. And we do need to grow. We don't need to stay a baby. And Jesus tells John, write the things which shall be hereafter. I feel like it might be necessary to read this scripture, because we're going to have to do a lot of this. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now here's why he said this. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
And in Revelations, we'll have to rightly divide it. And I'm going to do my best. And I don't think anyone can say I've got it conquered. So I'm going to do my best to rightly divide it.
Right.
Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. This is Jesus doing the speaking, and he's explaining to John what John saw, and John sees. Hold on a minute here. Verse 16, he sees in his right hand seven stars, and Jesus now in verse 20, he's explaining those seven stars. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now he just explained right there, verse number 16. Now that chapter number 1 was quite a challenge.
Yeah.
And has anybody got any questions over Revelation chapter 1? Crickets. Does anybody remember anything out of Revelation chapter 1? He's going to make us what? Kings and priests. We're going to rule and reign with him.
Yes, we are.
I ain't never been a king. And you know, to any degree at all, never been a priest, even though I'm a minister. But he's made us kings and priests, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I know we got dominion vote machines down here, but this dominion's a different dominion. It's like authority, it's like a throne, it's like power. The latter part of verse 8, the Almighty. I want you to know that's the kind of dominion he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And John writes all this down for us. God, through man, put it in our hand. I am going to read them two verses that I didn't read a while ago out of Peter. It's not just the Bible. First Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Unto us, or unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. One step further, Psalms 68, verse 11, a good verse to keep in mind. People try to discount the Word of God and try to belittle you over believing it. Psalms chapter 68, verse number 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them, or those that published it. It proceeded from God into the hand of man. God saw to it that it continued to our day, and we have it, and praise God according to the prophecy of Matthew 24. I think it's verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So the Word of God is eternal. Amen.
Right.
I'm glad I have it.
Amen.
And you need it. Let me tell you, in the hour we're living in, the darkness is coming upon the world. Thank God for the Word of God. That's a lamp unto our feet, a light in our path, that we can hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. All right, I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 2 on the next Sunday school lesson. But I really enjoyed that chapter number 1. I'm glad that He is the Almighty. I'm glad that He is in control, sitting on the throne that's above every throne. Listen, if He wasn't, man, I don't know what we'd have to look forward to.
That's right.
Man has made such a mess of things down here.
Lord, yeah.
And if man has his way, I guess we'll just kill each other. I mean, we're almost as bad as Genesis chapter 6, when it repented God that it even made man.
Yeah.
And it grieved Him at His heart.
Yeah.
And He had to kill everyone but Noah and his family. 8 souls were saved by an ark. The Bible said Noah moved with fear to the building of the ark, to the saving of his house. I want you to know, if Noah hadn't have moved on the Word of God, Noah would have perished along with the rest of them. Thank God for the Word of God. We'll stop right there.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.